Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
Alabama wide receiver Devonta Smith. It's Devonta. It's not Devonte. I have looked it up. Devonta.
And Chris Ello.
Physically, Devonta Smith, this is a
you just quote. Called him Devonta after making a big deal about calling him Devonta.
I know. This isn't Brent's quote.
Hey, hold up. Make sure you clip that right there.
Yes.
And clip the whole piece about you. It's Devonta, not Devonta. I've looked it up, and then boom,
and then
calling
Devonta.
Him Devonta.
Okay, that's okay.
Immediately.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Fun stuff like that and a whole bunch of other crazy goings-on. Welcome to Gwen and Chris, everybody. The Friday edition of the afternoon talk show here on 97.3 The Fan. Top of the program to you. 3:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Right here in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. also in San Diego, but he's at Petco Park where sounds like he's... watching a ball game.
Are the Padres playing?
Padres and Giants are actually playing in San Francisco tonight, but Tony's down at the ballpark. What do you got going on down there, T?
Looks like a CIF matchup. Torrey Pines Falcons and the Sage Creek Bobcats going at it right now. Torrey Pines up 6-2 here in the top of the seventh. So
top of the seventh.
I think there's going to be more games too as we go throughout.
They're just going to have you're going to have CIF baseball to regale you with this afternoon. You know, I keep going back to last year. Do you remember when? I'm sure Jesse will never forget it, but. Ted and Jesse had to call the NL Divisional Playoff Series from Petco Park when the Padres were in Arlington, Texas. And while they were calling that, there was American League Playoff Baseball going on behind them at Petco Park.
Yeah. I remember that day.
So,
That's one of the things they like to do here.
Just go ahead and entertain you on when the team is out of town.
When the team is out of town. They find other ways. There's going to be some concerts here some of these days that we're doing the game
broadcasting
too. So
games, yeah.
We got all kinds of different obstacles to kind of get through, but we'll make it work.
I'll tell you one thing. I really feel, we're coming out of this pandemic and things are looking so much better. And I can't even compare to where things were a year ago, of course, but I still, honestly, not that I want to get rid of you, but I just can't wait till, broadcasters are allowed to travel, be part of the ball clubs again. It's just such a huge factor in covering a ball game and just covering a team. You just haven't gotten the chance to know these players. You haven't gotten a chance to you know, being on any of the camaraderie, and nobody has. And I think it's something that's really missing from the game, and, you know, the relationship between the media and the players, and that, and therefore between the fans and the players, because you don't have that conduit in between. There's like a big fence in between both sides right now, and I hope it changes as we you know, go along this season. I hope you guys eventually get to go somewhere.
Yeah, you, Jesse, and me, all three of us, hope that happens here sooner rather than later, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got good news for everybody heading into tonight's ball game. First of all, it's a Fryer Friday, and Jerks and Profar, the Padres do-everything, outfielder, infielder, mostly left fielder this year, is going to be joining the program in about 10 minutes. So he'll be our Fryer Friday interview. Looking forward to meeting Jerks and Profar and doing that here shortly. But I got really good news concerning the game tonight in San Francisco, because with everything that's gone on so far this season, it seems like the Padres have kind of struggled to a certain extent. They haven't hit. The starting pitching has been in and out injury-wise. But with a victory tonight by the Padres, coupled, and I know this is asking a lot, but coupled with a Colorado's victory over the St. Louis Cardinals tonight, if those two things happen, the San Diego Padres will end the night with the best record in the entire National League. I mean, that is amazing when you consider everything this team has fought through so far this season. Right, Tony?
That, without question. I mean, we talked about it at length yesterday, but
yeah,
this team isn't even close to being to scratching the surface of how good they can be. Yet they have found ways to win ball games.
And yeah.
Has it been the prettiest baseball? Has it been the best baseball? But again, this is another kind of box checked for the Padres in terms of winning games when they're not at their best. And I'm not just saying a pitcher not at his best. I'm talking about basically a lineup not being at their best. The way they produce runs and how they were able to really put the whole being the best team in one of the best teams in the league in everybody's head was how they were able to produce runs last year. That hasn't happened yet. Yet they're only a half game out and have the chance with a win today to take over first place.
Yeah, they can go into first place if they beat the Giants. They can have the best record in the National League if they beat the Giants and the Cardinals lose. And if you want to take out a pen and paper, I can even explain to you how the Padres could end the night tied with the Boston Red Sox for the best record in all of baseball. They're only a game behind the Red Sox, who play the Orioles tonight. They're a half game behind the A's, and they're also just percentage points behind the Indians. So if those teams lose, the Padres could actually end the night sitting on top of all of Major League Baseball. It's amazing based on everything that we've gone through. But B, it also shows just how compact the baseball standings are. There still isn't a single team in baseball with a winning percentage over 600 right now, Tony. And yeah. I think Jesse mentioned it the other night on the broadcast. I don't know that that's ever happened this late in a season. The best record for anybody is 19-13, and that's the Red Sox. And everybody else is so compact.
I think what we didn't anticipate was that there would be this much. Well, at least through May 7th, all right?
Yes, right.
We got to make sure we say that. At least through May 7th, I don't think we anticipated there being this much parity. Like, you mentioned the Padres with a chance to have the best record in baseball if a few things happen. The Red Sox, the whole AL East, they're all within, like, 3.5 games. Like, that's where last place is in the American League East. And I'm not sure anybody saw that coming. And so it might be just one of those weird years where it's like this, but as of right now, everybody is what their record says they are, and it seems like we got a lot of teams that are close to one another in terms of once they get on the field and have to actually play the game out. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of separation between the two.
No, there isn't. Padres are on the road tonight, which might be a good thing as they start this road trip in San Francisco. Their 9-4 road record is tied with the Red Sox for the best in baseball. Padres have had two good road trips so far this season, a 5-2 trip, followed by a 4-2 trip. And this is obviously, you know, kind of fun tonight to get to play for first place, even though it's this early in the season. And I think along with fun, I think it's a big night for Blake Snell. I mean, this is a guy that would love to pitch into the sixth inning. First of all, he's only gotten one out in the sixth inning so far this year. I don't know if it's weighing on him or not. All I know is a guy can't be a Cy Young Award winner if he can't pitch through the sixth inning, and he has a Cy Young Award. So I know he's capable of going six or seven. I know he knows he's capable of doing it. Tonight would be a great night to kind of just break through that ceiling and put that all behind him, Tony.
Yeah, and he talked a little bit about it after his last start, about not trying to be so fine and with his letting his stuff work.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the key for him. It just seems like he'll be going along first three innings, and all of a sudden an inning, he'll have one of those innings where he can't seem to find it, and it's almost like he's trying to make the perfect pitch. So I think he just got to trust his stuff more, and hopefully tonight is that night. It certainly would be a good night to start going up against the Giants, and this is a place that at least to this point, as we found out yesterday, talking to Alex Pavlovich about the stadium, it's not playing quite like it was last year. Now, caveat is last year all the season was played in the summer. This is the colder part of the year in San Francisco. So we're going to get a chance to see firsthand how this ball is actually moving at Oracle Park.
Yeah, we'll see. And we'll see. I think runs, even though you'd like to see the Padres, you know, break out of it offensively, runs are going to be at a premium in this series. These teams have played six games against each other this year. Four of them have been decided by a score of 3-2 or 3-1.
Yeah.
Another game was 3-2 until the bottom of the eighth inning when the Padres put a couple of more runs on the board, and then the Giants finally won that 7-1 game last Sunday. So it's going to be tight, and you score 3-4 runs, you're going to be in pretty good shape, I would think, with Di Sclafani, a very good pitcher on the hill for San Francisco. All right, we'll step aside quickly, a little quicker than normal in our opening segment because we want to make way for Jerks and Profar, set to join us. He's in the starting lineup tonight, getting ready for the Padres and the Giants, and he will be our Friar Friday guest when we return. I'm Chris Sello, along with Tony Gwynn Jr. Welcome to the program. Scraby's here as well. Hasn't said much yet. And
Hi.
I was just going to say, he's either going to interrupt me, or that would be just kind of a good thing.
Yes, but, he called it.
Yes, he will be joining us plenty as the program continues here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Zello. I'm here at Petco Park preparing for the opening game in a three-game set between the Padres and Giants. Chris Zello, Matt Scraby at the Odyssey Palace. And joining us today on Friar Friday is the Padres' Mr. Do-It-All man himself, Jerickson Profar, joins us on the show. Jerickson, thanks for coming on, man. How you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing good.
Good, awesome. So, Jerickson, one of the things I've been dying to ask you about is I had the opportunity to watch you come up through the minor leagues, and you were the slick infielder, and you've made the transition to the outfield, and I got to say, you've done a spectacular job, man. What has gone into the work in terms of becoming a good outfielder?
I think just being a middle infielder, always be ready and expecting the ball to come to you. I think that's making it easier for me, just being ready every pitch and not taking a pitch off.
How about that catch you made in right field the other day against the Giants? Is that one of the best catches you've ever made? You look like you enjoyed it.
I think so. Yeah, I think that was the best catch I made in the outfield, for sure.
Jerickson, you know, one of the things I think that has really had a lot of people gravitate towards you and really Fernando is the fact that you guys really seem to enjoy yourself when you're on the diamond. Just talk a little bit about your joy and how that resonates amongst your teammates.
I think we got the same feeling about the game. You know, we just trying to have fun every night and still competing and try to get better every day and win ball games. And that's the number one thing for us, you know, just trying to have fun and win. And I think we have the same personality in that aspect.
Jerickson Profar is with us, the Padres outfielder, infielder, and do a little bit of everything. Great to have him on our Friar Friday interview. The pride of Curaçao. Talk a little bit about growing up in Curaçao, and when did you first think to yourself, you know, one day I'd like to be a Major League Baseball player?
I think that came late for me. You know, I didn't even thought about that possibility. I was just playing baseball in Curaçao and having fun, you know, till when I was like, I think 15, when I was 15, a lot of scouts started talking to me and I realized that, you know, I can be a Major League Baseball player. But before that, I was just having fun playing baseball.
Now, Jerickson, you've had the opportunity to be the number one prospect. You come up to the big leagues on a very good Ranger team. And you had some injuries. You had the shoulder injury in particular. And just talk about how long it took you before you were actually 100% healthy. Because I know you came back, and my guess is that it took a little bit before you actually felt back to normal in terms of throwing again.
Yes. I missed 2 years, 14 and 15. And, you know, after that, 2016, I still felt like 60%, you know, and I think after 3 years after a surgery, I started feeling good. So that was 2018. Hmm.
Yeah, it's really remarkable when you look at Jurickson's career. He started at 19 years old, so young, and probably just thought you could go forever, and then you get injured. I wonder if that has anything to do with the smile that is on your face now, because, you know, I think when baseball's taken away from you for a while, now you just are so happy to be playing it again, you can't wipe that smile off your face. Is that the way you feel?
No, I was always like that.
Oh.
Since I started playing baseball when I was six, I always like that, you know. And, you know, everybody, my grandma, for sure, told me to never lose my smile. So that's why I always play like that.
All right.
Now Jurickson, yeah. you kind of come into your own, it seems like, here in San Diego. You had an opportunity to test the free agent waters. You end up back here in San Diego. What was it about this place that made you comfortable enough to come back?
I love San Diego. I love the city. You know, I love my teammates, you know, and, you know, I think when I played last year, you know, I felt very comfortable here. So I don't want to go anywhere else.
Jurickson Profar is with us. Our Friar Friday interview continuing here on 97.3 The Fan. Great to talk with the pride, as I said, of Curaçao. Is there anybody you were able to look up to as a youngster that played in the major leagues or that visited Curaçao? Or was it Andrew Jones? Or was it somebody
Andrew
else?
Andrew Jones, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, in Curaçao, I was able to watch baseball every Wednesday. They were putting the Atlanta Braves game, and you know, I was watching Andrew Jones there and cheering on him, and I didn't even know that, you know, one day I can be able to play in the major leagues like him.
That's awesome to have somebody like that to look up to. Jerick, let's talk a little bit about the team. I mean, you guys have had a pretty good start, I would say, despite some injuries, despite this offense not even really playing at their best level yet. How would you assess how you guys have done through the first month and a week of the season?
Like you said, you know, we had a couple injury, and you know, we've been playing okay. You know, we got a lot of time to improve. You know, I know we got a couple guys that still searching, you know, and including myself. You know, I'm feeling okay. I know I can do a lot better. And, you know, as a team, I feel like we can be a lot better, you know. Yeah. And we working towards that.
Jurickson, you guys are getting ready to play the Giants this weekend. As you just said, you have fun no matter who you're playing. But is it a little more exciting to know that first place is on the line this weekend against San Francisco?
I think, you know, the Giants, they always have a good team. You know, sometimes last year when we played them a lot last year, and they always, you know, gave us a hard time. And I think now that they have Posey back, they even better. So it's gonna be a great series, a great challenge for us. I know we will be ready for that.
I gotta ask you something, Jurickson. I've noticed this year, more so than any other year I've watched you play, you seem to be a little more, what's the word, fired up dealing with the umpires a little bit this year. Is that something that has just kind of crept up on you a little bit this year?
No, I always, you know, I'm very competitive, you know, and I always wanna do good, and I always try to get better. And sometimes, you know, I'm in the moment, you know, I just fired off to get things done.
Yeah.
How about the stolen base? That's become a big part of your game this year, and you've been very successful at it, 5 for 5. How much of a green light do you have to run on this team?
I think it depends, you know. Sometimes we really need it, and sometimes the pitchers are slow, you know. And as a team, you know, we are running smart about that, you know. And if they give it to us, you know, we are going to take it, and especially the guys that can run, you know.
Yeah. Well, Jerickson, listen, we know you got to get ready for this game tonight. We certainly appreciate you coming on. Continued success this year, and hopefully we get a chance to catch up with you again later on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerickson.
That was Jerickson Profar there, Padres outfielder / infielder / you know, whatever they need him to do, really, Chris.
I'm surprised he hasn't pitched yet, but hopefully it won't come down to that.
That was Jerickson Profar, as I said, on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
I want to just really quickly thank his grandmother out there. I don't think I'll ever meet her. I'm sure she's not listening to the show. Maybe she'll get a copy of the interview somehow. But I wish more grandmothers would tell their children, you know what? Always play the game with a smile on your face, man. Be happy that you are out there. Feel like you're the luckiest person on earth to be playing baseball. I mean, because he does bring a joy to the game that is really infectious.
He definitely does, and I think, you know, there's probably a lot of grandmothers who tell their grandkids that, but not every one of them is willing to listen like Jerickson.
Yeah,
Jerickson has maintained that, and there's just, you talk about glue guys. He seems like a glue guy. You know what I'm saying? That he brings more to the table than what is on the field, and that's so important in a long season like this, where you're around each other every day. There needs to be an element that keeps things loose, keeps things in a positive light, and him and Fernando seem like those two guys.
Yeah, he loves it, and it shows. And you know, I was kind of noticing that you know, he's played in 31 games this season. Padres have played 32, so he's played in almost every game. And he's the guy that is supposed to kind of fill in, you know, in left field, fill in right field, fill in at second base, fill in wherever he needs to fill in. But you know what? I think Jace Tingler realizes he's such an important part of the lineup that he makes sure he's filling in somewhere every single night. Because, I mean, he's almost become really an everyday player. He's in the lineup tonight in left field. Tommy Pham continues to struggle, so he's getting the opportunity. And, you know, I think Jace Tingler thinks it's important for him to be playing.
I don't think there's any question. And you could see that by the lineup that's drawn up most nights.
Is
he's in there, a big situation late in the game, and he's not starting, he's usually the one pinch hitting. So he's clearly become a big part of this squad. So Sir Padre's certainly going to need him. This, as you mentioned, this series between these two teams, and Jerickson mentioned it himself, the Giants, for whatever reason, give the Padres a hard time. They at the very least play the Padres really tough every time. So expect it to not to be any different today. The Padres got the best of Anthony DeSclafani the last time out, but he won the first matchup. So we'll see how this one works out for sure.
Yeah, and it was really one swing of the bat is all the Padres got against DeSclafani in the last game. Machado hit that 3-run homer, and he shut them down after that. So
yeah, he settled in after that very well.
Yeah, he's tough.
Let's step away, pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to preview the weekend series. We're going to talk a little bit about C.J. Abrams. He's already off to a hot start down in Double-A San Antonio. We'll also get into some of this NFL Union league mess that they got going on. Seems like the NFL back up to the shit.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby alongside as we work our way towards a little before 6 o'clock, and then it'll be the Padre pregame show, getting you ready for tonight's game between the Padres and the San Francisco Giants. 6:45 start in the Bay Area. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Are they still playing high school baseball down there, Tony, or you got a break?
Oh, they are.
They're still going.
Looks like a game getting ready to be Francis Parker and Bishops are taking on one another.
Good matchup.
One another next. Yeah, they're getting the field ready for their game now.
How fun for those kids! I mean, honestly, not that you know, you wouldn't mind looking out at. Do you like having a little action going on while you're doing the show?
I mean,
it's okay.
It won't bother me.
Right.
I think ultimately where I sit, I won't be able to be distracted by what's going on there. So,
yeah,
I think the only problem could be is if they get a little loud. You might hear it on the broadcast, but I'm sure we
for
got some
you
things.
For you, like if they would have ever had a Poway High game at Qualcomm Stadium or something, it really wouldn't have been very overwhelming. I mean, you spent your entire life at Qualcomm Stadium.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't have been overwhelming. I would have felt at home, but it still would have been pretty cool, right?
Still would have been fun.
I never got to play a game in Qualcomm. I tell you what, these guys are lucky, right? This is regular season games, but you used to have to like get to a championship to get to these a stadium like this. Now, they just some teams get an opportunity to do it every year.
Yeah, good for both of those teams or all the teams that are getting to play down there at Petco Park today as Padres are on the road in San Francisco. I got to play in Qualcomm one time and just a softball game, but it was a legit softball game, and I was out in right field and somebody hit a high fly ball. And I got to be honest with you, Tony, they talk about that upper deck in the stadium being a big difference. I'd never looked up into an upper deck before, right? It was the only time in my life I've ever looked into an upper deck to try to catch a fly ball. And I was a little dizzy on that one.
Oh, yeah, those extra levels takes some getting used to.
Yeah,
for sure.
I almost pulled a Scraby, but I was smart. I caught the ball with two hands, something Scraby has yet to learn how to do. No, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't want to look cool because you know what? It's funny. You want to look cool, but you look so goofy when you drop one.
Yeah, you do.
That it's a whole lot better off just to look uncool.
You know,
what's
interesting is I was one game, maybe even one inning away from playing a championship game in Tony Gwynn Stadium, which I ended up playing there the following year as an Aztec. So it wouldn't have been, but it still would have been pretty cool to play in a CIF championship game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting for kids for sure. I mean, growing up in LA, I mean, I never got to step foot on the field at Dodger Stadium. I don't think once in my entire life for any reason. Yeah. So I know it would have been definitely fun. Padres, of course, will step on the field tonight, Oracle Park in San Francisco. Blake Snell, the former Cy Young Award winner, going against Anthony DeSclafani to start this three-game series. Joe Musgrove will face off against Kevin Gausman tomorrow. And then Sunday, it'll be, I guess, another bullpen day for the Padres, which is probably bad news for the Giants because the Padres bullpen days, man, they are so good when they do their bullpen thing. Johnny Cueto, coming off the injured list, will pitch for San Francisco on Sunday. And it does seem like, Tony, I don't know the teams are trying to do this. Maybe they are. But it seems like the umpteenth time already this season that the Padres are facing another team's top three pitchers in a series, right? It's happened a lot already this year.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Padres have caught the best of everybody's series. And that could be one of the things that comes along with, you know, being the hunted, not the hunter all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, teams are loading up. And listen, we don't know if that's what the Giants did, if it just lined up this way. But certainly, it can't be a coincidence as the Padres keep catching every one of the team's top part of their rotation. It seems like.
It's not it can't be a coincidence at all. I mean, there's no Logan Webb on this series. There's no Alex Wood. Not that he's pitching poorly, but the Giants are giving the Padres their best three shots coming up. You look at DeSclafani, Tony. He's off to a really nice start this year. 2-1 with an ERA of exactly 2.00. And I don't want to take anything away from him, but he has started twice against the Rockies this year. And he shut them out both times. Six innings shutout and a complete game shutout against the Rockies. So he's been a tad, easier to hit if he's not facing the Rockies. He's 0-1 with a 3.42 ERA against the other teams. But still a pretty tough customer. Only gave the Padres three hits in that game last Saturday night. Machado had one of them, the three-run homer. And other than that, he was pretty tough. So, and he faced him in the first series also. And five innings, gave up only four hits. So, both times
it's not just the Rockies.
No, it's not just the Rockies. He's pretty good. And it's funny how these pitchers, everybody goes to San Francisco, and the guys we talked to yesterday previewing the series said the same thing. I mean, DeSclafani was basically, unable to stay in the Cincinnati Reds rotation. He must feel like he's reborn, though, getting to pitch in San Francisco as opposed to Cincinnati, where the ball flies out of the park every 5 seconds. But, you know, same for Kevin Gausman, who's had a nice career but not a great career and is all of a sudden pitching lights out for the Giants. So, you know, and he had a little time in Cincinnati. Johnny Cueto also had some time in Cincinnati. So all three of them had stops in Cincinnati before coming to San Francisco. But at least Mike is – go ahead.
I think in Gausman and DeSclafani's situation, those are guys that were still developing. And now it seems like they've gotten to a point – I mean, DeSclafani's not that far removed from having a bunch of strikeouts and being a tough guy to put the ball in play on. I know last year he didn't have a good year and was eventually moved out of the rotation, but these guys have always been guys who had, you know, somewhat of a high ceiling. And it just now they seem to be living into that that expectation that had been set for them a while back. And so Gausman's been like this for 2 years now. I mean, he pitched well for this Giants team last year, and things haven't seemingly changed. He's only gotten better, and these guys are pitching with a lot of confidence right now, too. So we've seen how much confidence can factor in with the Padres' own staff and how guys are pitching with confidence. Tim Hill comes to mind immediately right now. So this, like we said, this is certainly a series the Padres have to come in and play good baseball, because you get the assumption that the Giants will.
Yeah, Joe Musgrove pitches tomorrow for the Padres, and he could use a little luck. I mean, not that he hasn't been lucky this year. He had a no-hitter. But since the no-hitter for Joe Musgrove, he's gone 0-3 with one no decision. But if you look at the results of those games, he lost 5-1, 3-1, 7-1. The one is what stands out. The Padres' offense haven't scored him any runs to help him out. So he'll be going tomorrow in the ball game, trying to bounce back after kind of a so-so start against San Francisco last Sunday. As a matter of fact, Gausman and Musgrove is a rematch of the Sunday game at Petco Park. And then, like I said, Sunday, I mean, it'll be all hands on deck once again. And that's, you know, a bullpen day, or at least what we're thinking will be a bullpen day. That can be difficult only because next stop is Coors Field. And we know how, you know, the Rockies aren't very good. But at Coors Field, they can be, you know, they can be a handful. And they can certainly score runs and make you throw a lot of pitches. So Padres are going to get tested again. And I think that's one of the reasons why important for Snell to go a little deeper tonight, Musgrove as well, just to make sure the bullpen is going to be as fresh as possible for Sunday and what's ahead.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. No, and for, you know, you mentioned the run support thing. That's the thing I think this Padre team is waiting on most, right, is that offense to all of a sudden kick in gear and play like we've been expecting, and that hasn't happened. It's not just Joe. The Padres could have need some run support across the board for the set of guys that are going in the rotation. Blake tonight is looking for that. You know, that start that has evaded him, where he can get into the six and possibly a little bit longer. And the Giants pose a legitimate threat, though. That's the tough part. This team is playing good baseball. They're confident as well. It should be a good series for sure.
Should be a lot of fun. And, boy, I expect, you know, close, you know, I don't want to say October-type baseball, but that style, I mean, we've seen a lot of it already this year, and that's one of the fun things about having a contending team. Games are so important, even though it's the first weekend in May, or actually, I guess the second weekend in May, because somebody will text me or tweet me. The last May was Saturday was May 1st, so I'm sorry, I don't want to be incorrect on my dates. Moving on just a little bit, MLB Pipeline. Talking a little bit about CJ Abrams and whether or not the Padres should be aggressive to the point, Tony, of bringing him up at some point before the end of this season. Obviously, he got a lot of play, a lot of run in spring training, 53 plate appearances in the Cactus League. He's a double A now. He's only 20 years old. I know his name comes up every time, you know, somebody on the Padres goes 0-4. You know, it's, well, let's bring CJ bring CJ Abrams up. He'll save the day. Do you think that the Padres would push CJ Abrams to that extent? I mean, for something like an August or September thing, if they felt, you know, could he make a difference this early in his career?
Could he? Yeah. I mean, yeah, anything is possible. He definitely could go out and make a difference. We saw him in spring training and how well that worked. Now, I don't know. To me, he is where – so Fernando made the team in 2019. CJ is where Fernando was in 2018, right? Like he was okay. he's a – I think he's a year away possibly. And that will still all depend on what kind of production they're getting from – the spots that he plays, right? I mean, he's certainly not going to play third. He's certainly not going to play short. I mean, the way Trent Grisham has played at the big league level, it's hard to say he would play any center. I mean, he could play some second. I mean, but Jake Cronenworth hasn't – I mean, he's been slumming as of late, but he's been a pretty good player over there. So, I don't know. I don't know where it is. I don't know that that has revealed itself yet, you know, in terms of – where would he help? How could he help? You still want to see him develop, right? You still want to see him go through a minor league season and navigate that at this level that he's being challenged at right now. And I think time will eventually tell exactly where, how he could help ultimately.
All right, we're going to switch gears here, go talk a little bit of NFL football. There's some growing acrimony right now between the National Football League and the Players Association. Gee, go figure. A league and the players not getting along. We'll talk about that in just a second, tell you the latest. But first, let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fan. All right, the Denver Broncos and tackle Juwan James have become the focal points in this acrimony we just talked about between the league and the NFL Players Association. It's all over the attendance of players at voluntary off-season workouts. And before we go any further, I'll never forget Edgerrin James. Do you remember that one, Tony?
Yep.
The old running back for the Colts from the University of Miami, who didn't show up at voluntary offseason workouts one year. He was on his boat somewhere off the coast of Miami, sailing around, and they asked him, how come you're not at the voluntary offseason workouts? And Edgerrin James famously said, I didn't learn a whole lot at the University of Miami, but I did learn the fact that the word voluntary means I don't have to be there. I think that's an all-timer.
I forgot about
from Edgerrin James. But look, it is voluntary off-season workouts, but that's the whole problem right now. The NFL is trying to really kind of
bully guys into coming.
That's exactly it. They're trying to bully guys into coming. And talking about that relationship between the players' union and the league, what happened to Juwan James is that he got a season-ending Achilles tendon injury earlier this week, while he was working out away from the Broncos complex. And so the NFL sent a memo out and said, hey, you got to be careful with that. The union fired back. It was gutless to use a player's serious injury as a scare tactic to get you to come running back to these workouts. This memo is another sign of what they think of you, and also affirms that they simply want to control you year-round in any way and every way that they can. We have been in touch with Juwan James despite an open threat of an NFI designation, non-football injury list, I guess. Juwan is working out to stay in shape under a program recommended to him by his coach. This is an ongoing problem because the NFL does, honestly, I think, want to control its players and its rank and file and have these guys basically working out under supervision 12 months out of the year. And these players are saying, look, I mean, we give everything we can give during the season. We have mini camps. We have off-season camps. We have this, that, and the other. And, you know, for you to basically scare us into coming or try to scare us into voluntary camps and taking our, you know, ability to make money away if we, you know, get injured or something else happens doing a workout somewhere else, you can understand the problem here, and I totally am on the player's side here. I think the league has enough control of these guys as it is, and you've got to have some freedom. I mean, this is not, you know, I mean, this is still football. It's still supposed to be some fun involved, and I know it's a job, and I know it means the whole world to everybody, you know, whether you win on Sundays or not, but these guys have to have another life, and if they want to go for a jog somewhere and they should get hurt, they should be covered by the NFL.
Yeah, no, the worst thing that could have happened to the NFL in some regards was the pandemic, because they couldn't have these voluntary workouts in their facility. Everybody had to do it at home.
Yeah.
And it turns out that there weren't a whole lot of injuries during the season because of, you know, because the thought was if you don't have these things, or the thought was prior to the pandemic, you get these guys out because it keeps them in shape. They don't have the major injuries. And that turns out not to be so true after this past season. And now players recognize, listen, we don't need to go to have these to this voluntary camp, run ourselves into the ground more when we can kind of temper and work, have our own workouts that the teams are actually making, right? It's not as though they just are making up stuff at the house. They get programs from their own club. So I agree with you. The fact that they are now trying to scare the players into, you know, coming into voluntary camp. I think the word gutless fits perfectly here.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Juwan James's situation, as a $10 million salary guarantee for the 2021 season, but the Broncos would not have to pay it because he suffered the injury at another site. And
right.
So,
it said non-football. It, like, what do you mean non-football? He's
right.
literally working out,
you know, to get ready to play football. And so the NFL is trying to say, hey, we want you working out under our supervision at voluntary, or at quote, voluntary workouts.
Right.
And
right.
then if you get hurt there, you'll be covered. The only thing I could say is if I was a player is, you know what, then fine. I am not going to lift a finger. You know, when I'm not on site, I'm just not.
Right.
Because I can't take a chance of, you know, losing my entire salary by getting hurt. What if I, you know, swim in some laps in my swimming pool and I bang my head against the side of the pool and I get a concussion? You're going to tell me I can't, I don't get paid for that because I went for a little swim to try and, you know.
That's what they're going to tell you. That's what they're going to try to tell you, Chris.
Yeah.
They're going to try to tell you just that.
So all you can really do, I think, if you're a player then, is not do anything. I mean, either make me come to camp, make it mandatory that I come to work out, or I'm not going to work out.
right.
I mean, what else can you do?
Then
you
can't
risk $10 million to go for a jog.
See, but then you come in, you're a little out of shape, you get off to a bad start.
Yes, and then they cut you.
And then they cut you, exactly.
Yeah.
You know the rules.
I know how it works, man. These leagues are really something. I'll tell you one thing. They care about, I've said this many times, the NFL cares about his players on a scale of 0 to 10. They care about them at a 0.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's just next man up. I don't care. If you're not hurt, get out of here. Next guy. We don't care. And that's no fair and no fun if you're a football player. All right, we care about you out there, and we care about you getting qualified to potentially win a trip to Las Vegas by winning Chris versus the Fans. Trivia's next. Call in now, 833-288-0973.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.